You're not alone, you're not crazy, and you're right to not be satisfied. Because you are infinite brilliance, and it's time to start shining. Welcome to the Lights Like Us podcast. Lights like us together. All right, what's good, Heidi?
What's good is being a parent to adult children and having friends who are parents of adult children. And it's crazy to have three kids in their 20s. And it's crazy. And to have them and to have the thought when they were born that, you know, you raise them up, you send them out, and really your parenting duties fall away for the most part. Well, it's true, you're not managing their physical bodies and their energy, and you're not trying to tuck them in at night and all the things. They are adults who need you and need a lot of bouncing off. And so I, like Darcy and I were talking the other day, and her kids are also graduates from college. And we were just saying, like, it's, you think you're going to be done and you're just so far from being done, and they are precious and beautiful, and it's an honor that they need you. But we were laughing at how they call, it's a crisis. You think they're asking you for advice. You give them advice. Oh, mom, that is not what I'm going to do. So I think we're laughing at, like, we're here for them. And then they go, no, I didn't really want you to say that. And that's not what I'm going to do. Anyway, hilarious. But what's good is that having friends be parents. And my favorite quote is, being a parent is 51% worth it. And so we giggle at that, of like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I heard that from Jay Duplass on a podcast, talking about, he's a Duplass brother who does all these films, and his friend said that to him, and it just was gold. So anyway, what's good is having friends in the same stage of life you are, and you can say, I think we're going crazy. And they say it, me too. And then you laugh and you say, well, anyway, have a good day. So anyway, that's good.
Okay. You also said something about seeing our kids.
Post. Oh, and what's also good?
Well, you said that earlier today, and I didn't know if you wanted to say it.
Yeah. What's good is Abby is traveling, and she's in Boston, and then she just went off to New York to see a friend, and she's sending us pictures of quotes that she sees on coffee shop walls. And Isaac then sends a quote of a hike he was on and a poster that says something beautiful about the world. And I was just like, you know, what's good is these children of ours. Like, I'm so proud that they have a lens that we've tried really hard to have on our own eyes to see the little things. So it's really a proud moment as a parent to be like, oh my gosh, we have annoyed them probably a lot of times with our stopping and reading this plaque or this story or this, or just noticing. They're noticing and they're taking it in, and it's part of their worldview, and it's beautiful. So yeah, I think that's really good.
Really cool. I love that. I really do. It's awesome. The Art of Noticing.
Yeah. I mean,
book too. Anyway,
I don't know. I should write it,
but no, I think it is. mine is, this is the first time that we've taken an international trip and lived in Seattle. And I keep, even today, we walked and got coffee, and I had this, I said to you, like, whoa, this is so weird. I keep expecting to have my, ugh, I'm back, and I want to be on vacation, I can't believe I'm back, and I don't. I have this just, oh, wow, I live in a really cool place, and we get to go do a lot of the things that I love doing on vacation. We get to go get coffee from cool coffee shops, and we get a beautiful view, and we get this fun city. And I don't know, it's a really good feeling to, I think, be real content with where I'm at and where I'm living in, and to be grateful for the place I live. So it's really cool. It's really a, I don't know. I think I'm just where I'm supposed to be, I guess. So it feels good to come back from vacation to home and not be miserable at my home.
I feel like it's confirmation of this yearning in your soul. I'll just speak for you. Me too. But yearning in your soul that we lived in suburbia, in a smaller city, our whole life. Mm-hmm. Me really. But we would go on vacation, and the luxuries of walking to a coffee shop or walking by an art gallery mm-hmm. were so magical. And we would know that the contrast was going to be so great when we came back to our suburbia, which was so great. But
yeah.
the contrast was great. And now you're right. Like we landed, we had a nonstop flight from Seattle to Japan and back.
Yeah.
So easy. Like we realized usually we have to hop on another flight.
Oh man, couldn't have been easier.
Could have been easier. And then we get to our apartment. It's like, and there is no withdrawal of, oh my gosh, we can't just step outside and get coffee. We can't just go step outside and, you know, go to the wine bar. We can't just ride our bikes.
Look up at buildings, whatever.
And see buildings and skyscrapers. And also Seattle feels so quiet. But yeah, anyway, I agree. I agree that that we worked really hard knowing, hey, what's something in our life we'd love someday, somehow. And we did it. Yeah. And now the rewards are here. And yeah. it is cool to be like, well, that's one less stress in our life because that was positive.
Yeah, it is. It really is. So that's a very good thing. And I didn't, which I would think, oh, it's going to take away from your vacation though, because you already live in a cool city or whatever. But it didn't at all.
No, we wondered. We're like, oh God, are we going from city to city?
Right.
And now we're going to be tired.
Right. And now we're going to be like, oh, that wasn't that cool. The opposite. In fact, that's what we're talking about today, is our Japan trip. We just got back. Don't know when this will be released, but we're talking about it today. We just got back and we just wanted to share a little of what we learned in Japan because we'd never been to Japan. We'd never been to Asia. We'd never left from Seattle, as we said, but it was just we were very excited about it. I haven't talked to one person who has been to Japan, and we would tell them we're going to Japan and they would have this overwhelming, like, oh, I'm so excited for you. Like every reaction was like, oh. And so I went with high expectations and you did too, to be inspired. We called it a design immersion trip. And I think we were both surprised at what did meet our we were surprised at what we learned, maybe. Is that a way to say it?
Yeah, it's funny when you think you've even watched a lot of like clips of things to expect in Japan. And I had a vision of what I was going to expect in Japan. And it was not what I thought.
No.
So that's cool that you can see clips of things you should or shouldn't do in Japan. And then you think, oh, well, then I've kind of probably don't need to go because I experienced it through these other people's eyes. Nope.
Yeah. So our thing is to bring back things that we think we want to integrate into our life, and we wish we're integrated more into our culture here because they're very missing things. So that's the point of this. We're not going to tell you about like every coffee shop we went to and had a great coffee. Like no one wants to hear that's boring.
Yeah, we're not going to say top tips for Japan travel, even though maybe it would go viral.
It probably would. We'll never go viral. It's like, we're going to go viral. Don't worry. But on top tips, first thing we learned is you don't need any tips. Japan is so massive and so amazing and so congested. Is that the right word? Or so like compact that you don't need tips. Just walk down a street and go in anywhere. You'll find whatever you're looking for. It's almost
laughable that I even thought, oh, and people are doing it to me now too. They're texting me, give me all the tips. Where should we eat? Where should we stay? And I'm like, you don't need one person to tell you where to eat. That's for sure.
What would you say? There's 30,000 restaurants in Tokyo.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Okay. Insane. Let's get to what we learned. Because we talked about these words a lot while we were there. I wrote a blog post about this and posted on Instagram. So, but it's worth kind of diving into a little bit more. Cause I think we said we were going to have a life changing experience, and I think we kind of did.
We're only 3 days back.
Yeah. We're processing a lot of it. So there was three ideas that just kept striking us from our 10 days there. The first one is abundance. The second one is humility/respect. And then the third one is the paradox of calm and chaos. So the first one, and I think this first one struck us at first, was abundance. And okay, I was writing notes, like I'm having a spiritual experience right now on abundance. I knew Tokyo was big. Okay, we all know, I think it's the largest megapolis in the world. 40 million people? 30 million? I don't know. So many
people.
Insane number of people. But we went up to this, the Sky Tower. It was this observation deck where you're outside and you can see 360 views of Tokyo. And I was, I don't know if I've ever been so shocked. I consider myself a pretty, aware American. I was blown away at the sheer size of Tokyo. Skyscrapers in every direction as far as you can see, basically.
No, it took your breath away for real.
It really did. It was so much city.
So much city. Like, we've been to the World Trade Center Tower, One World Tower, observation deck in New York, and we would say, wow, from there. This was 10 New York City, Manhattan Island, every as far as you could see.
It felt like Manhattan Island in every direction.
It was like you kind of wanted to just pass out with what?
Yes.
Am I looking at? I thought we were transported to a futuristic time. I think we time traveled somewhere that was future.
Right.
Because whoa.
Whoa. And everything is whoa. An abundance of people. I've never seen so many people. I mean, subway after subway packed. An abundance of subways. I've never seen so many subways. I don't think we ever waited more than 2 minutes for a subway. And almost 80% of subways were packed at any time of day. I've never seen so big of subway stations with so many subway exits. Our one exit was A23 we were looking for. I've never seen so many trains, so many shops, so many high-end shops, so many malls, so many restaurants, so many bars, so many little tiny bars with these craft cocktails, so many high-end Times Square type situations.
Oh, Times Square.
I feel like Times Square is so boring now.
Oh, Times Square,
every intersection was Times Square.
Oh my God. A little overwhelming with that part.
We have this shop called Likelihood in Seattle that we think is so cool because they have these cool brands. There were malls of Likelihoods that were 14 stories with 10 Likelihood brands on every floor. Brands I'd never heard of that were so cool. And I remember being on Sky Tower and I said to you, Heidi, I was like, you cannot come here and look at this and believe in a world of scarcity. Like, it was really impacting me that all of these restaurants and so many of the restaurants are 10 people at a little bar. They all survive. And granted, Japan has a lot of reasons they do, but they all survive. There's room for them all in the world. These from Versace and Fendi and everybody. Chanel, I mean, you name it, they have, most of them have a flagship store in Tokyo.
5 to 10.
Yes.
Also stores of that size. Yes,
they're in every mall and every subway station almost has massive malls and
mind
restaurants.
Blown.
And it's you just can't get over it. And then we go to Kyoto even more. Then we go to Osaka even more. Just city after city and room for everyone. And you can't believe in a world of scarcity after being in Tokyo, I don't think.
No, you know what's fascinating to me is we moved into this apartment in Seattle and we're in a high rise. So we're over on one side of us is skyscrapers that we get to look at. And the other window goes right out to the sound. And the minute I stepped into this apartment, I looked out at the sound and it has this curve. And I said, man, it's so cool that you can just go around the corner and you're getting to the ocean. And my first instinct living here was, oh my gosh, there is room for everyone. And the world is so big and there's so much vastness. Mm-hmm. And we do think too small. That was when we moved into Seattle. And then standing on that sky viewpoint was another version of that. And it was there is room for everyone and no one does it like you.
Yeah.
And you might say, oh, I can't do this because someone else is already doing this, but no one does it like you.
No, there's 50 ramen shops within 3 blocks.
Next to each other, they're all making ramen.
Yeah. And you would be like, well, why would I open another ramen shop? Because you're going to make it slightly different.
You're going to be you. And I feel like you're right. It was an empowering moment where you could, on one hand, be overwhelmed with, there's too many people. This is too hard. This is too hard to be in this world, actually. And then you go, well, wait, everyone, there's room for all of us. And Big Magic, I love that part of Elizabeth Gilbert. There is no such thing as scarcity.
No.
And that is a belief that if you, that is a refreshing, freeing belief to see it and realize it and know it.
Yes. And there's also, we just kept having this, I mean, we saw like $3,500 pens and $5,000 dresses. And what was that one shirt we were looking at? Like, this is cool. And you're like, okay, yeah.
I thought it was $148. And I was like, and it was so cool that I was like, oh my gosh, affordable. He goes, you forgot a zero. No,
one more zero. Like, oh.
Was it in my calculator?
$1,480. Okay, for so a shirt. $1,500
for this shirt.
And it wasn't about the money, but it was about the money, kind of, that people are spending this. People are buying it for a story / craft. I mean, you can be negative on high-end brands or even cool fashion brands. I get that. But there's just more abundance of, like, people are out here buying all of these things, and these people are expressing themselves in certain ways. And it just truly eradicated scarcity mindset. It just did.
Mm-hmm. And being an artist and creative.
Yes.
It was a good, it's a good cup of cool water to drink. And I stood, we made our, I said, I read these articles on the flagship stores in Tokyo you cannot miss. And so Gucci was one of them. It was like 8 stories or 12. Each level is a different, and Ryan and I do not shop at Gucci. One day, hopefully I own one thing. It could be a pair of sunglasses, whatevs. But because I'm obsessed with the craftsmanship, the creativity, the whole thing. Anyway, we get on one, which would you like? They looked us up and down like, you don't belong here. And we said, fuck it. We do belong here. I don't know who you are, but we're going to come into this store. Would you like women's spring or fall? Or men's spring or fall, or bags. And we had to make a decision. So we said, men's fall, you said. Mm-hmm. They put us in this leather velvet elevator. We go up, and it is the most stunning floor I've ever seen. It was solid turquoise.
So cool.
And so I start videoing. You can't video in here. I'm like, okay, whatever. So we are just drooling over the things, and all we're looking at is art and creativity, and yeah, we're trying to immerse ourselves in it. And then we get to this dress. Somehow women's were up there. He couldn't speak. I don't know how he misunderstood that. Anyway, women's dress, gold. You guys, it was the most beautiful dress. And I was trying to look for the price. And he's like, do you want the price? Yes. It was $4,000, which in a Gucci store, I was expecting it to be $30,000. I didn't, because I have no context. I don't understand this high level fashion. But what was my point? Oh, my creativity came alive, appreciating the fabric that was chosen for this. It's only available at this Tokyo flagship store in Tokyo. You can't get this dress anywhere. So I'm Googling the dress because I was so inspired by it. I was like, I'm going to do an invitation suite with this vibe. Can't find it anywhere. So then it's like, it's the scarcity upon scarcity upon scarcity. It's the, like, this is only here. This dress is only in this store right now. So anyway, super cool, super inspiring. As creatives, yes. Abundance, you could, and owning your craft and being you.
Yes. And just, we said so many times, for every cool thing that we've seen, there was like 50 of them that we would walk by. I mean, it's like cool coffee shops, kitchen store. There's a whole kitchen street where we both said to each other, make it stop. I mean, it was store after store after store
of ceramics and knives.
Yes. It's just, we went into a bar with, there were 5-6 spots, and me and you were the only ones in it. It was in this basement we stumbled into, and this guy, you were crying.
Yeah, I kept crying.
He made a gin and tonic that was like, he was waving the ice with a feather.
A Japanese fan. Like, I'm like, is this for real?
To like melt the side. Anyway, it's
to
just...
To give it an angle or something?
Yeah.
I kept, the ASMR was times a million.
Abundance, abundance, abundance.
And owning your craft,
yes,
which can fit in, probably comes in later.
Anyway, so the next one was humility and respect, which this one is just, I was humbled as an American by the abundance. I was also humbled by, like, oh, I knew Japan already had free healthcare and really cheap tuition, and they take care of their elderly and all of these cultural things. But I think I was even kind of a dumb American. I was reading this book. This girl went to America in the 90s, I think, as an exchange student, Japanese girl, and she was riding in a truck with some guy from her high school, and he said, oh, do you have these in your country? And he pointed at his Sony radio in his car, and she was like, I didn't have the nerve to tell him what Sony was. And I felt like that a little bit at times, of like, whoa, I didn't realize what Japan has. Like, I had questions like, I wonder if Japan has. Yes, they have it, and they have 1,000 of them. And they're cleaner and more efficient than anything you've ever seen in your life.
And it's an island.
It's an island. Right.
Japan's an island.
It's an island the size of California, I think. But there's this also like this. So I was humbled myself. And then there's also this beautiful, you can't bow constantly to people and not have a different way of going through the world, of being aware of each other. And I will say, for the abundance, for the number of people, for the number of exits in subway stations, for the number of trains, there was also this crazy like respect for each other. I mean, you're walking across crosswalks where they go diagonal twice, you know, like every inner, you know what I mean? Those where you go from corner to corner and then also parallel in a square. And there's people riding bikes, and everyone somehow just like maneuvers like ants around each other. You get on subways, you've heard it before, everyone lets everyone get off. There's like little lines to stand in where you stand on the sides, wait for everyone to get off, and then everyone else goes in. They're so quiet. The subways are so quiet. The restaurants are so quiet. Everyone's so quiet. When you leave a restaurant, when you enter in, it's thank you so much, thank you so much, thank you so much. And it's not for tourists. They do it for everyone. They would follow us out of a restaurant. Thank you so much, bowing. Thank you so much, thank you so much. And there is this beautiful humility and respect for each other. And I don't know what it was, but man, just walking through Seattle, or where were we?
Costco yesterday. Costco in Seattle.
The opposite of that.
Oh, you realize. At first I was like, I mean, yeah, it's quiet here. People are in line, kind of. And then you go to Costco and you realize Americans, no one goes in line. No one is respectful. Everyone's pushing through. Everyone has wild looks in their eyes. Like, yeah. Get me. And no one wants to be there, of course. But no one wanted to be commuting in Japan. And they were able to have a respect and calm. They're calm.
They were.
And I don't know how they're calm there, because it is a insane, like we said, Times Square vibes. That's like, I mean, wow.
It's just, it was a beautiful, man, I don't know.
A beautiful reminder of a deep cultural history that is that was real.
Yeah,
and
it was real.
America is a mishmash of everyone with not a basis.
But
like
I think a lot of its cleanliness, again, we saw, I don't think we've said this yet, but we saw, I think, 3 dirty cars, including garbage trucks and construction trucks. We saw 3 homeless people in 10 days in 3 of the biggest cities in Japan. 3 homeless people. And I'm not exaggerating. 3
That's
people.
It. And they were really homeless. Like they were sitting on a bridge with paper around them. Where like in Seattle, there's a lot of homeless people walking around. There was no one walking around homeless.
Oh, no,
it was only
one.
Those 3 were sitting down homeless.
You were in Kyoto and you said, Ryan, have you seen people's shoes? Everyone's shoes here are perfectly clean. And then we started to look.
They're like brand new, and we realized they're clean.
They're clean. They're
they don't
clean.
Get dirty.
They don't get dirty because everything is clean. The number of people cleaning subway stations and cleaning sidewalks and hosing things down. It's just such a humble, respectful culture. And Culture Eats Strategy for Breakfast said it many times, but like their culture is so humble, respect for one another. And I listen, we know they're not perfect. Okay. We know every country's not perfect, but this pervading sense was everywhere. And then you go to the temples and you went to a temple that was built in the year 500, and you realize that this has been 1500 years of building respect and building humility for each other, and it's integrated into everything they do. And we would, this side note, but I read this book, the book I was talking about earlier, about, it's called 8 Million Ways to Happiness, by the way, and it talks about the 8 million kamis, or the 8 million gods that they have in Shinto religion, which is everything's a god. Talked about that earlier in a podcast. But I wanted to see this samurai's head. It's a long story, but he started a war and then he died and they believed he became a god. And so they buried his head in this place that was just random country thousands of years ago, ended up being Tokyo. So now it's like downtown financial district, and they've tried to move it 3 or 4 times, and every time there's like an earthquake or a construction truck tipped over, or all these people in the Department of Interior or something died. So anyway, it's now there, and we went there and it was in the middle of just skyscrapers. It was so weird to see, because now they're not moving, because I think it's like holy ground or cursed or something. But he was the god of anger, which is also really cool. But you're, people are coming out of financial buildings and they're walking by this little shrine area and they go up and they bow for 1 minute and then they leave. And I thought, what a cool, what kind of an impact does that have? And you know me and religion and where we've come from. We don't need to go into that. But there's something really cool about rituals and reminders, which I, we have a lot to say on that eventually at some point. But just, you're going out of your office and I'm going to take a minute to just recognize that anger is a good emotion and to put it where it belongs. And, you know, like, I'm going to recognize there's a metaphor to the mystery in life and just be reminded of that. And this, I think that also just pervades this culture of these shrines everywhere. And people just walking in and out. And they're a very not religious country. I think that one of the most unreligious in the world is the stats. But yet they have this constant reminder of something bigger than them.
Well, and isn't it true that they don't, you can be, you know, there's, it's Buddhist, Shinto, and one other.
Shigendo, I think.
And all of them, no one cares what you are. You're, right. Everyone's welcome to be anywhere.
And they borrow from everyone too.
Which is just what a thought.
Oh yeah. It's not, religion in Japan is not what you're against. It's what you're for. Which,
I mean, like your mom, to quote your mom and Catholics, you know, it's like, you can't be Christian. You're, if you're Catholic, you're not Christian. Well, they wouldn't say any of those words.
Oh no.
This is like the stress we live under. It's so stressful. Again,
just the, it's this, anyway, this respect. Yeah. This respect for other religions.
Yes.
Because of a realization of humility that I probably don't know everything and there's probably something to learn from them about how to live an enlightened life.
And we did, just side note, we popped into, we would go pray at the Buddhist shrines, at the Shinto shrines. Ryan and I were like, and we both left going, because all you clap 2 times to call the
God. You bow twice and clap twice.
And then you pray. And we walked away and like, who did you pray to? I'm like, I mean, I just kind of like prayed to like kind of what I thought I knew. And then we, and I was like, anyone trying to tap into the divine and that river of living water, and however we're trying to get there, I think is so cool. So anyway, it was a privilege and an honor to be, and your mom would have killed us.
Well, my mom can't pretty ever sure know we'd that be going I stood to in line to kneel and hit that gong and pray and put in incense and oh boy.
No, she and would pray to Buddha. Buddha's sitting there looking
Buddha sitting right there. But you know what? It just reminded me that throughout human history, people have tried to connect to mystery. And I feel like there's value in that. And there's a beauty in it. And then we didn't get to the final one. Final one is the paradox of calm and chaos, because all of this calm we've talked about and the quiet and the restaurants and the quiet on the subway and the order and the cleanliness and the efficiency. Also the efficiency. Can we just say for 1 second? We took the bullet train. It's like a bullet train that leaves every 20 minutes on perfect time. It goes 177 miles an hour, which if we had one of those between Seattle and Spokane, we get to Spokane in like, what, hour and a half or something. It'd be so nice. These things are running constantly. They've never had one accident in the history of the bullet train. And it's like we struggle in America to build a north-south freeway of 10 miles. I mean, it's just like, America, get your shit together. Oh, my God. Anyway, this paradox, but this calm thing everywhere and then
not
this
everywhere
chaos of,
oh, my gosh. I thought I was going to scream. The overwhelming, you're in, it's like Times Square times a million. And then not only is it Times Square, it's they have speakers and music and videos.
So many videos.
So loud. And I realized I wasn't prepared for that. I thought there was an area that was like Times Square and then everything else was Zen.
Yeah. No.
So anyone listening to this who's been to Japan is probably like, you guys are wrong. You're acting like it was so great. It was, I understand why they go for Zen, why they need Zen.
Yes.
Because I don't understand the two. How they, Japanese culture is so, what I thought was the creators of Zen, the creators of, you know, yoga. Not, I don't know who created yoga. I don't know.
Chinese,
if it was
Buddhist. No. I don't know.
Anyway, it's just like, wow. They need to have their homes to be calm because they go out into this millions of people, shoulder to shoulder, getting to work, getting home, going into grocery stores, going into restaurants.
Well, and trucks driving by with video ads with like, went into a store, Don Quixote, and it's every aisle's like,
oh my God, the music, the sounds don't stop. Abby has a friend, Lindsay, her best friend in the whole wide world, who says, I'm stimming right now when she's stimulated. I kept saying, I'm stimming. I'm stimming.
A lot of stimming.
Yeah.
But I also love that about Japanese culture, that it is so zen, and we're going to like rake sand and have one tree. And then also we're just going to be like bold, crazy, fun, colorful. I mean, Japanese TV shows are known for this, that like,
they're insane.
Like just so much energy.
On the subway, peace and quiet, all of these young people on their phones, I look over their shoulder and they're watching that crazy billboard style TV, YouTube, whatever they're watching, that makes me want to cry and run away because it's so loud and intense. I mean, I couldn't hear it because they're so quiet. They have their headphones in, but the idea of, they are also humans with a constant barrage of loud digital
capitalism.
Mm-hmm. And then they're also working themselves to death. We know
there's a lot of
sexual issues over there. There's a lot of problems, but being in the city, and it was a wonder to me to watch. Yeah. The chaos and the calm, the shrines, the Zen gardens, and then the billboards and the stores. And there was like a store that's like a Best Buy, five levels of Best Buy.
We were both about to lose our minds.
And we were kind of lost in it because we couldn't find the exit, because we were trying to get across this crosswalk to get to this stupid store I had pinned, which also is a whole nother episode of be careful when you pin on your maps. But anyway, it was like the ceiling was Sony, Panasonic ads. The ceiling, the sides, banners hanging down.
It was like the most congested
and music
crazy
playing
Best
the whole
Buy
time.
Ever
so
seen, you've ever seen.
When you go, you have to, I just wasn't prepared for that, and that was a lot. But it's also like a cultural phenomenon, and I'm so privileged and proud that I got to see it with my own eyes and try to put it somewhere. And that's why I said earlier we came back to Seattle, to a big city to me, and it's as quiet as
you're
a
like,
mouse.
Wow, it's so quiet here.
So quiet. Yeah. So it's really little and tiny.
Where is
actually
everyone?
So really
also,
cool. Really
Japanese
cool.
Fashion.
Oh God.
Some of the coolest outfits.
Oh,
I was
these
like
Japanese,
obsessed with some
these
of
these Japanese men.
Yeah.
Men. The women, I didn't see a lot of expression. Men were expressing.
There were some men that were like, that's the coolest guy I've ever seen.
Ever.
In my life.
Ever,
like,
ever.
The coolest
ever.
Outfit, the coolest
shoes.
Vibe.
Oh my God. All ages.
So
just
cool.
Fur coat. Oh God. So cool.
Crushing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and then to end it, it was just while we were there, America was going through the times it's going through with ICE in Minneapolis. Oh man, everyone knows what America's going through right now. But it was a very, also just more paradox of being in this country where I think it's one of the lowest gun ownerships in the world. They've basically banned guns. I mean, you can have them for hunting, but it's really hard to get them, blah, blah, blah. Feeling so safe and respected and secure, and also just seeing our own country and what it's going through, and seeing this country that is crushing on efficiency and technology and building and respect, and then seeing America just kind of running from all of those things. So all of these words, I think, gained more importance because each of them are things that our country is really struggling with right now. Abundance. We sell abundance. And our country struggles with a scarcity worldview. And I think we're being led by an administration right now that highlights these things. So it's really exaggerated and exemplified, unfortunately, in our culture, that it's scarcity. It's grab onto what you can. Don't let them have it. Don't let them, yours, get yours. And that is not abundance. That's a scarcity worldview, and it's terrible. And humility and respect. I mean, I think our culture is losing on all sides, humility and respect for each other. But I mean, I think our administration has, I don't know who it is humble and respectful toward, honestly. And that seeps down as well. And it's so dangerous and so crazy to see when you're in a country that's built on it, or it's in the blood of the culture, to see our own culture where it's just so hard to have it so often. And then that paradox of calm and chaos. I mean, I just think we have just chaos right now. And so it was definitely, these things were very exaggerated while we were there. And they come back not to rip America. And I think a lot of people, this is another problem we have, is like, when we're pointing out things about America that are wrong, it's let's call to the better. I mean, we can do better. And I think it starts with us as individuals. You know, how do we live with an abundant worldview, not a scarce one? How do we live with more humility and respect? And how do we bridge that paradox of calm and chaos and be okay living in the middle of both of them? And so I think it's up to us. It's certainly not up to some higher powers. It's up to us as people to change the culture, and that only happens with us. So I think we're inspired with so much art. We didn't even get into the washi tapes and the stationery show stores and the pens and the papers and the art and the pottery and the sculpture and the temples and the architecture. We didn't get into any of it, but we were so inspired by just design and inspiration and what we can do and who we can be, and also inspired to bring more of this worldview back to our country and to our culture and the people we interact with on a day-to-day basis. So amazing trip. Encourage you to go if you can. I honestly encourage you to go anywhere. Every time we go anywhere, we're so inspired by just the world and how similar we all are, and then the differences and how people are doing things better in a lot of places and how sometimes they're not, and how we can all do better. And it's, man, every trip is the best, and it's the best education you can ever ask for. So I'm just so grateful we get to travel and meet people and meet cultures and be inspired for better. So thanks, Japan. It was awesome. Can't wait for the next trip, wherever it is. And I do hope to go back to Japan. And I think this is all we got for now. You have anything else, Heidi?
Nope. I have lots, but I mean, yeah, we'll save it for another right. day.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Have a good one. Bye. Lights like us
together. If you do sometimes feel a little lonely, or maybe a little crazy, or just that you're not getting the most out of life, I am a certified coach, and I love helping people find their way to better. If you'd like to know more or book a discovery call, check out rsjmiller.com. And if you'd like to know more about the podcast, lightslikeus.com. Until next time, keep shining.